T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is from a quality guy himself.
Off the draw, score! Alex Ovechkin, 699 with a dart.
His longest goal drought is 5 games.
In his career, or just
yes?
Oh wow! I knew it was the season. I didn't realize. You're kidding me. That's stat of the day, stat of the year nominee.
There was a graph or a infographic not too long ago that listed the NHL's best players and their longest goal droughts. Like Tyler Seguin's gone 15 games without a goal, and Ovechkin's never gone more than 5 or maybe 6.
I know Skinner's.
What's that? 20,
22.
22, yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure Ovechkin...
5 for his whole career.
I think his longest drought is 5.
If that's true, I'm putting that up for stat of the year nominee.
Yeah?
How many years has he been in the league? When did he come in?
He came in with Crosby.
Right around the lockout, right after the lockout. So 05. So 15-ish years to go no more than 5 games without a goal? That's phenomenal.
It's pretty good. He can score.
I got to look that up now.
He's got 17 assists and 41 goals this year, by the way. How about that? Another guy, he's a finisher.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He's not always been that off on the disparity. Like, there are years where in his rookie season, he had 50 goals and 50 assists. And he's had multiple seasons of 38. He was up in the 50s early in his career on assists, and now down 41 and 17. He's just finishing.
Sorry, it's not his longest goal drought.
Point drought.
Right. He had a 10-game goal drought.
Okay.
It tied for the longest point drought of his career.
5 games.
5 games is the longest point drought. That's still really amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe not phenomenal, but it's still really amazing that you've never gone more than 5 games without a point.
He has his shooting percentage, just looking at his career, is 12%. And he's at 14 this year and 15 last year and 13.8 the year before. He had 1 year where he shot 8%, 8.7.
How old is he? What, 32?
He's 34.
34. What he's doing at his age is just, just don't do. You're not supposed to do in the NHL. Not at that level of goals.
No.
Like, I would assume, I should check. If he hits 50 this year, would he be the oldest guy to score 50 goals? Did Gordie Howe do it or something like that? I got to check that out.
Yeah.
Because 34-year-old guys probably don't crank out 50-goal seasons. Nobody cranks out 50-goal seasons anyway, at least in this era in the NHL. And I'm not sure who of that age or even higher, like who's the oldest person to have a 50-goal season in the NHL?
Let's see. I've got Gordie Howe's stats here. He scored 50, not that many times, if at all. He never scored 50.
Okay.
So there you go.
I got to look that up. Yeah,
it's not Gordie Howe.
I wonder if it would be him. I wonder if that would be like the record.
If you're just joining us this morning, we're talking about this. Also, we have a text box full of how far Josh Allen could throw an apple. So I've got a couple.
I got to be honest with you. I know we go off on some really strange tangents from time to time. I really do want to see how far he can throw. I really want to know. Like, how far do you think he can throw an apple?
Well,
far do you think you could throw an apple?
I don't know. I mean, I've never thought about
30,
it before.
30, 40 yards?
The initial question is, which fruit could you throw the farthest? And now we're on to how far you could throw an apple. And I've got a couple texts here. One guy says that I used to win a lot of bets. When I had an above-average arm back in the day, no Josh Allen, I won several bets by throwing golf balls more than 100 yards. Ooh. Josh Allen would throw an apple 150 from the texter.
150.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know how well does an apple fly.
So he's standing at the goal line in the tunnel end of the stadium, and he's throwing it into the stands at the opposite end, basically.
That's what this texter suggests.
No, that can't be.
I mean, you know, it's going to depend on the apple. Are you throwing a Granny Smith as far? I mean, those can
He should throw it further than a football, right?
I guess so. I didn't think about it.
I think you could throw an apple easily to the at least the 40, 50-yard line.
I don't know. I have no idea if you can throw farther than you can throw a football.
All right, you know what? Brayton, is the intern in? Send Zach down the Maple to the supermarket and go get some apples.
Get an apple.
We're going in the parking lot.
Go get a football and throw them as far as you can.
Not a Nerf football. Those things don't travel.
And get a kiwi.
We're going in the parking lot.
Howard's trying kiwi today, too, while we're at it.
Because this is going to drive me crazy. I need to see how far we can throw an apple.
Is this like the pull-up challenge? We have to do it today.
Well, that we didn't have to do because I failed miserably. I mean, I know I can throw an apple without, like, you know, having rotator cuff surgery. Of course, we'd have to be able to. Then you're going to have to, where it lands, you're going to have to, you know, mark it off. You'll have to step it out and see how many.
Yeah,
how
you've got to get one of those outfits that the judges in the javelin contest get. They wear the suits with the hats and they run up and they stick a flag in the ground. Right?
There you go.
Don't they wear suits and hats?
I believe they have some kind of garb they're wearing.
Yeah, there's some sort of elaborate outfit.
You're not confusing it with the guys in Australian rules football?
I don't think those guys wear hats. I'm pretty sure the javelin guys wear hats.
Don't those guys wear white coats, though, the Australian football guys?
Right. No? I mean, they're referee outfits. Hmm.
Javelin guys probably wear something. Maybe they wear something nice and bright so they, you know, the guy doesn't throw the javelin at them.
I think that's why they wear the hats.
I was just screwing around.
You know, we're probably going to have to periscope this too, right?
Oh, I mean, if we do it, live. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to go get some stuff.
Texter asks, why not just a baseball? Answer, we weren't asked how far you could, what baseball you could throw the farthest. The question was, which fruit could you throw the farthest?
Yeah.
So it's got to be about
fun.
Fruit.
It's more fun because there's more. A baseball is a baseball. With fruit, you have options. You have different types of fruit that you can. It's just far more interesting to do that. So Yager scored 54 in his age 34 season.
That's Ovechkin's year this year. He's got 41.
The oldest 50-time goal scorer.
Ovechkin scored 50 last year at age 33.
So he's, I think, like Johnny Busick at age 35 had 50 goals for the Bruins in the 70s. So this is going to be, I don't think it'll be the oldest, it wouldn't be the oldest person to get to 50, but it's an extremely short list.
He might do it next year.
And that's the thing. He's showing no signs of slowing down. Like this guy has no drop-off in his game. So he'll, whatever record for like oldest person, most goals, you'd think he's going to just shatter it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible what he's doing.
Well, I mean, he's exciting. He's, right? First ballot, one of the best.
You know, he is always, no matter how long he's been in the league, Jeremy, 15 years, right? Guys always must-watch TV. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times. We make fun about how NBC always puts the Penguins on, and it's always the Penguins and the Capitals and all the other stuff. But, you know, Crosby and Ovechkin, those guys are must-watch television. Anytime the Caps are on and Ovechkin's playing, it just draws you to the television. He is like the, more so than Crosby. You know, now I would say McDavid, but McDavid's not been in the league as long. McDavid and Eichel are really exciting players to watch. But Ovechkin, over the course of his career, there's nobody else that approaches him in terms of guys that would singularly draw me to the television set to watch. And look, when he won the Cup, that playoff run, hockey fans were glued into that playoff run. And you didn't have to be a Cap fan. You just had to be a fan of the sport of hockey. And it was just amazing to watch that run and watch that guy win the Cup. I think he's been just unbelievable. One of my all-time favorite athletes to watch. Not on my team. You know, not a guy that I root for on one of my teams.
Yeah.
Because he's so exciting. And you know where he's going to be for his goals. And yet, I read a piece the other day. I wish I would have saved it. It was a couple weeks ago. It was a piece at ESPN.com, right? And they were talking about whether he's the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game. And they had also talked to players about defending Ovechkin. And they all talked about how, you know, the shot's coming. You know where he's going to be. And it doesn't, and the goalies are talking about it too, that he's got such a heavy shot, it really doesn't matter that you know what's coming, you still can't stop this guy. Like, that is greatness. You know it. And he still scores. Game anywhere's cool colored skate laces. So
does he still do that?
He doesn't still do yellow laces?
He used to be criticized for that.
I love the yellow laces. Yeah, I know when he's on the ice.
Yeah, right.
I don't have to look left shot, right shot, what helmet, what this. It's yellow laces. Ovechkin's on the ice. Yeah, I think he's been just great for the sport. And, you know, knock on wood, let him keep playing. I mean, You know, if he could break Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record, I think that'd be an incredible accomplishment to witness.
You know, this one of the things I brought up, I was going to bring this up on the show at some point, and this is as good a time as any. There was also the NHL, I think, or some NHL account tweeted out, who's the player that made you fall in love with the game?
Mm-hmm.
The single player that, you know, when you were a kid or whenever you picked up hockey, that it became about watching that guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, imagine how many kids that's going to be Ovechkin for, right? You just grow mm-hmm. up watching that dude score all the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little older, you know, so I go back into the 70s. I saw that. I thought it was interesting because I had to sit and think. There was no one, like, I grew up, I became a Ranger fan, okay? But there was no really, I don't know that there was one player on that team specifically. So if you're my age, if you grew up in the early to mid-70s as a hockey fan, okay, if that's when you really started getting into the sport, there's a good chance you're familiar with the Montreal Canadiens and the great teams they had. So for me, there's a guy by the name of Guy Lafleur, who's a Hall of Famer. You know, again, not on my team, but a guy who is an electrifying, dynamic, unbelievably talented, you know, fly up. He's going up the ice so fast, his hair is flying in the wind. I mean, it was just, they were a great team to watch. And if there was one player that I thought, wow, I wish I could do that. Like, that is greatness in his sport. It would be Guy Lafleur. But again, I'm in the 50-plus crowd.
Right. That's probably the exact description for Perreault around here, right?
Yes.
Made people fall in love with the game of the way that he played.
Right. But I would have seen, I mean, I didn't see the Sabres on TV as much. Montreal was in the playoffs all the time every year, and they were playing, it seemed like every year, for the Stanley Cup final or for the Stanley Cup. So I would have seen a lot of Canadiens games. They ended up playing against the Rangers at the end of the decade. So I would have seen far more Canadiens games than Sabres games growing up. But Perreault is the same description of that type of player.
I'm trying to think of the guy that, for me, it was like the first guy that was must watch for me. I think, I mean, I didn't grow up here, so I didn't grow up with the Sabres. Growing up in Auburn near Syracuse, it wasn't about, like, hockey all the time. I think it was Pavel Bure.
Hmm. Okay, sure.
You know, that the playoff run the Canucks went on that year when they lost to the Rangers.
Rangers, yeah.
And I was up watching the Canucks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Bure was
electric,
an unbelievable player.
Edge of your seat player.
Yeah.
Like, you just love watching him play.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And, you know, whether it was the speed or just everything that he did, he did so well. He played for a lot longer than I watched him for. He's one of these guys that, what, he went to the Rangers.
In Florida for a little while, right?
I was looking at his bio the other day because he played for, you probably forgot the teams that he played for.
He was with the Panthers, right?
Yes.
Couldn't tell you anybody else after that.
That's it. Florida, Vancouver, then Florida, then the Rangers.
Oh, I thought there was another team. Okay.
He had a 59-goal season in Florida. And a 58-goal season. Hmm. Back-to-back years, 58 and 59 in Florida.
Yeah.
After Vancouver traded him. So, you know, like, that's the guy for me. 60-goal seasons back-to-back at age 21 and 22 was mm-hmm. Bure. And that playoff run, I'm probably the exact age where the hockey fandom came together in a perfect storm of NHLPA 93, the video game, came out,
mm-hmm.
and that year's playoff run for the Canucks, who I think were like a 7 seed.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And the Rangers, of course,
they were the President's Trophy winner.
The Rangers were the Cubs. The Rangers were the Red Sox. The Rangers were
94 years. Yeah, 1940 rather.
Absolutely, it was everything.
It's a great series.
It was a great series. It was a great playoff season.
Yeah.
All throughout, and you know, Bure gets the one penalty shot against Richter. Mm-hmm. That's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So yeah, I think my answer for the guy that. One player that probably made me fall in love with hockey was Bure.
That's a good answer. Again, it's a guy who's so supremely talented and so exciting to watch. Someone tweeted in, it's a good tweet, Jim tweeted in, Patty LaFontaine and Alex McGillney of Why I Love Hockey. Now, yeah, if you started getting into hockey, let's see, LaFontaine would have come in what, the early to mid-80s, I think? And then McGillney defects in the late 80s. If that's your era, when you first started watching the NHL, maybe not as much McGillney for a lot of people, but LaFontaine, you throw in that Pavel Bure, whatever, Guy Lafleur. This is one of those guys that regardless, if you did not grow up an Islander fan and later a Sabre fan after he came here, if you did not grow up a fan of one of those teams, you would love watching Pat LaFontaine play the game of hockey. He's one of my all-time favorites, even though he played for the Islanders and I couldn't stand the franchise. He's one of my all-time favorites to ever play this sport. I mean, I hold him in a very rare category in terms of guys that, I mean, I would pay to see that guy play as often as I possibly could. So that's a good answer. I like that. Yeah.
There's probably a lot of answers where it's two players, right? It's Mogilny and LaFontaine, or it's, I mean, for the younger crowd, Drury and Briere, or whatever.
Somebody tweeted in Jágr, for, you know, depending on what age you're at, Jágr was that kind
of Jágr and Mario, maybe, at some point, because, you know, when, sometimes when there's a pair, it just becomes a little different.
It's funny. Like, I was thinking Kane and Taves, although Taves is not exactly the most exciting player to watch. Kane, yes. Kane is razzle-dazzle. Taves is, you know, blue-collar, grind away and get the job done guy. That's not the most exciting thing to watch all the time. One of the other questions they asked in the thing that they tweeted out, NHL tweeted out, your favorite player today and the player you're most excited to watch for the next 10 years. I put down Eichel for both of those. Maybe I'm being biased.
No, I mean, that's pretty close.
The player, imagine getting to watch Eichel for the next 10 years. Every game. Like, this is not, well, guys, it's got to be McDavid, and you know, unless you get the center ice package, you're going to see McDavid play like twice a year on NBCSN. The guy you get to watch the next 10 years, the player you're excited about, to Eichel for 10 more years is mouthwateringly delicious.
McKinnon's a pretty good answer here. Mm-hmm. McKinnon is incredible to watch.
Okay, so I'm a non-Sabre category. Who would be number one? McKinnon for you?
I mean, McDavid's up there. McKinnon's up there. Does anybody – here's an honest question about this, just the state of the game. Does anybody still do this with goalie? Right? Hasek was the must-watch goalie forever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people do, but does the average fan still say, like, oh, lock me in, I got to watch some Carey Price today, or I've got to see – I mean, Bobrovsky's having a terrible year. Does anybody pop in and say, oh, yeah, give me some Tuukka Rask?
Yes, you know, there's who's the guy. That's the discussion. Braden Holtby? Who's the guy?
It probably would have been Henrik Lundqvist a few years ago when he was really, really good.
But even still.
Are goalies not as big of stars?
No, it isn't. Because, look, and I love Lundqvist. That's a great answer. But, you know, I'm not, hey, the Rangers are on Thursday night hockey. Great, I get to watch Lundqvist. It's just, I don't think goalies haven't been that way for me. It was never Brodeur, by the way, because the Devils were a boring team to watch. Goalies haven't been, bring me to the television, that goalie is on. I might have to go back to Hasek because he was just so different in his style. And you knew there's a chance for goalies just don't do that for me. And I'm not sure that many guys have ever been I couldn't even name that many goalies that I would tell you. It's a forward. It's a defenseman, you know, but it's not a goalie. And there is nobody today that is. Who's the best goalie that would draw people to the set today? There is no answer.
Right. Vasilevsky, maybe? I mean, it's not to say that no one does that. I'm sure there are people that, you know, appreciate that craft, but it's just, I'm wondering if it has kind of, from a mainstream standpoint, dipped a little bit. Yeah. Like back in Hasek's era, Hasek, Patrick Waugh, I don't know if Ed Belfour got people I'm not sure which goalies did, but it does feel a little bit like maybe that star power in net has. Maybe just dropped a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I was thinking about, and Hasek would answer this too, like, were there a game where there's a game on and you're like, oh, man, Hasek versus
Brodeur.
Whatever. I mean, like, you'd be like, wow, I got to watch that game because he's two great goals. I couldn't name one right now in the NHL, let alone say there's a game on right now and you're watching Leonard versus Vasilevsky.
Here's your thought experiment. NBC Sports Network has a game. It's the Winter Classic. And it's goalie versus goalie. Who are the goalies? Right? They say, tune in for blank versus. It's the marquee event. The two goalies that everyone wants.
It's hard.
I mean, we do talk about it in a playoff series. Yeah, it's not to say it's nothing. Right. You know, if you've got Vasilevsky against Tuukka Rask, that's a heck of a matchup.
Yeah.
But it's never, ever marketed as a goalie versus a goalie.
There's no marquee goalie name really anymore. Maybe it would have been Lundqvist a few years ago. But there's no marquee goalie name, right? If you could go through every team in this league, if we did a word association and we named every team, I'm going to guess you wouldn't name a goalie. I mean, Tampa, Stamkos. I mean, like, which team would you get to?
Montreal, you might get to Carey Price.
Okay.
After that, right, it's the first thing you think about with a team.
How many goalies are in the discussion?
Not many.
You know, even Boston, you brought up Tuukka Rask. Pastrnak? I mean, you'd get to something.
Marchand,
because you love yelling at the screen when the guy's on.
Yep.
It's tough to say how many teams would come up with a goalie as the first answer.
Adam tweets in, having been a goalie, I tend to key in on goalies I love watching. Mm-hmm. Fleury in Vegas. Hasek was the reason I wanted to play. Yeah, Fleury is a little bit different, right?
Yeah, a little bit different style, yeah.
Because Adam, you would know this better than me, but one of the texts I got on this was all the goalies look and play the same now. That it's such a finely tuned position, it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
Just from a viewer standpoint. And another text. Growing up, Ryan Miller was the guy that made me fall in love with the game. From a skater standpoint, it was Afinoganov. That's from Gary in North Tonawanda.
Okay.
I wonder if, like, the style, is there less style than there used to be?
I wouldn't put, but with Miller, you still wouldn't put, and I know Miller hit a peak of popularity there, the Olympics and the Winter Classic, and he's in a TV commercial and all that stuff. I wouldn't put Miller in that category outside of Buffalo.
At the time, when the Sabres would play, it would be Ryan Miller and the Sabres.
Okay, so you think he would have been...
Yeah, and I think that that kind of selling of a game that's on television doesn't happen as much as it used to.
Maybe because he's here, and I look at it from our perspective as opposed to an outsider. I don't know how they would
have envisioned Ryan Miller. Well, he was the biggest star on the team when he was here after Brewer.
Post-Brewer and Drury, yeah. Right.
And they made the playoffs a couple times, and he did win a Vezina. And, yeah, throughout that, it would have been Miller and the Sabres. Did Pekka Rinne get this treatment in Nashville before they got really, really good?
Boy.
And went to the Cup Final?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
But even last season, the Blues run was Jordan Binnington, but I don't, would he have been the guy you tuned in to watch? Well, you would have tuned in to watch Ryan O'Reilly destroy the other team in the playoffs. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. And you share your thoughts on this. Player that made you fall in love with hockey. You can let us know. Got a tweet about Steve Yzerman. That's a really good choice. Yeah. Again, it probably shouldn't be. It's too easy to say a guy on your favorite team growing up. If you grew up a Sabre fan, Perreault. I think it's better to have this discussion of someone who was not on your team, but you fell in love with the sport because of watching this person, like Yzerman. You didn't have to be a Red Wings fan to fall in love with hockey watching Steve Yzerman in the prime of his career. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550 here on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Former Bill Brandon Riley going to join us in a few minutes these days, playing for the St. Louis Battlehawks of the XFL. Speaking of football, the NFL owners met yesterday and they approved a CBA proposal for a new 10-year deal where the league is about to go into the final year of its current agreement. The players will hold a conference call today. We'll see if they're going to vote on it and what would happen after that. Okay, what else? Players getting released. Vikings cut defensive end Everson Griffin. Maybe a guy of interest.
No, he voided his contract.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he voided.
Yeah.
So maybe a guy of interest to the Bills. He is now, 32 years old, and an edge rusher, which might be of interest to Buffalo. Snacks is on the market. It's one of the best, one of my favorite nicknames in football. Damon Snacks Harrison was let go by the Detroit Lions yesterday. They might be going through a little bit of a purge on the defensive side of the football. Washington released tight end Jordan Reed. He's still in concussion protocol from last summer, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with his football career. The Sabres play tomorrow in Pittsburgh. It's a 1 o'clock game. We'll have it here on WGR beginning at noon with the Paul William Belts pregame show. Jack Eichel and Kyle Oposo did not practice yesterday, termed maintenance days. Ralph Kruger did say with Eichel, it is not a serious injury. Linus Ullmark has resumed skating with the team, so perhaps he'll be back on the trip next week that starts in Colorado on Wednesday. Alexander Ovechkin scored goal number 699 last night. The Caps lost to Montreal in overtime. Toronto beat Pittsburgh, so the Leafs are now 10 points up on the Sabres. The Lightning had their 11-game win streak snapped in a loss to Tampa. Kyrie Irving from the Brooklyn Nets out the rest of the season due to an injury, and the Yankees shut down pitcher Luis Severino. Arm discomfort. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 8 o'clock. Headlines brought to you by Northtown Mazda. Get the 2020 Mazda CX-5 Sport all-wheel drive for $239 a month for 36 months. Get Bluetooth, backup camera, push start, blind spot monitoring, and more. Just $239 a month. Visit northtownmazda.com. So we've been talking about the XFL, and if you've watched games the first weekend, the second weekend, both weekends, whatever, you will notice a handful of former Bills players in the league, and we're going to be chatting with Brandon Riley, who's joining us right now from the St. Louis Battlehawks with us on our Western Hotline. Brandon, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to you guys. I'm doing well.
Appreciate you coming on with us today. So what's life like in the XFL, Brandon?
You know, it's pretty similar, you know, schedule-wise to the NFL. Obviously, there's different wrinkles here and there, but you know, I'm loving St. Louis right now. Obviously, the weather's not great. It's about 15 degrees this morning, but nothing I'm not used to. But, you know, it's been a great experience so far, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it as the season continues on.
Yeah, I guess, you know, from your standpoint, you get a chance to keep playing football. I assume when, you know, whether someone contacted you or you were drafted, whatever, you had to be looking at this going, I still get a chance to play professional football, right?
Absolutely, you know. As long I always tell my friends, you know, as long as I can put off the real world as long as possible, I'm going to keep doing it.
Were you at a point? I know you had been in some other on some other practice squads in the NFL. Were you at a point where you thought you were going to get a shot again this year, or were you about to go into the quote real world?
You know, I was right on that fence. I wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen, but you know, I'd heard rumors the XFL might start up, and you know, I thought that might be a good opportunity for me to, you know, get some good game film rather than, you know, just like training camp practices or a preseason game. And so, you know, it's an opportunity I was looking forward to, and it did come around, and, you know, hopefully I can make the most of it.
I wonder, you know, you've been around the NFL. You see what the level of play is here. You played in at a program in a major power conference in college football. Where's the level of talent from what you can tell right now in the XFL compared to those two, since you have experience in both?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's not up to the, you know, NFL level, but definitely, you know, a lot better than the college level. And, you know, a lot of guys on our team, about everyone's been, you know, in and around the league for a little while at least, the NFL, that is. And, you know, whether, you know, maybe it was an unfortunate injury that, you know, they kind of got out, everyone had a different route to, you know, how they're trying to get back in or how they got back out. And so, you know, it's kind of cool to hear everyone's story, and, you know, everyone's here for the same goal. And, you know, first off, to, you know, bring a championship back to St. Louis, the fans are very excited. I know our first home game is just this weekend, and it's, you know, it's sold out right away, so we're excited for that. And, you know, the ultimate goal is, you know, to get back to the NFL.
The game, are you guys playing in the big dome?
Yeah.
And it's sold out?
Yeah. I was actually just looking. Some of my buddies were looking late for tickets, and I mean, they're reselling for like $300.
Oh, my Lord. Wow, that's great. I was curious, because I know I was going to ask you what the reception has been like for the XFL in a city that recently had the NFL and lost its team and had to be pretty angry about that. But I knew you guys hadn't played a home game yet, so I was curious how it's being welcomed in by the fan base.
Yeah, they've been tuned in. I know the ratings on TV have been very good, but, you know, they're definitely excited. And you know, the first home game comes on Mardi Gras weekend, which is always, you know, busy in St. Louis. So kind of timed up perfectly. So, you know, it should be a good atmosphere. And, you know, hopefully we can put on a good performance.
So I wanted to ask you, one of the things, I've watched games the first two weekends, Brandon, and I like what I saw. I think in terms of level of play, it's okay. But I thought the rules changes are really fascinating, and there's a lot of stuff I'd love to see the NFL do. What do you, as a receiver, what do you think about the headset radios, the fact that you get one as a receiver, all the skill guys do, and that the coach can keep talking right until the ball is snapped? They don't shut it off with 15 seconds left like they do in the NFL.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, honestly. And, you know, obviously learning the playbook's not too difficult for me, but, you know, for some other guys, that it takes a little longer. It definitely helps them out with that, but, you know, just speeds up the play. And, you know, if offense gets in a roll, you know, they can start moving pretty fast with, you know, just as soon as you're running back from the last play, you know, just the OC is already in the headset calling the next play. So just go line up in your position there, and, you know, it speeds it up, and, you know, it's pretty exciting.
You don't mind having the guy in your head, like as you're getting ready and you're looking at the defense to hear a coach yelling out, Brandon, this, you know, whatever, yelling out last second instructions.
No, he doesn't do too much of that. Mainly he'll just say little things to the quarterback to, you know, get his mind right. But no, he does a good job of, you know, not talking too much.
Okay. Is there anything else of all the other rules changes? I like the kickoff rule. I'd love to see the NFL do that. Is there anything else in the game that you've seen so far that you think would be a good idea for the NFL?
Well, I was going to say the kickoff rule. I think it's definitely an interesting one. I know, you know, the first time people outside the XFL saw it, it's definitely a different wrinkle. But, you know, once you look at it and the reasoning for it, I think it is a good change. And, you know, I'm curious to see if the NFL will adopt any of these rules. You know, punt, no one can leave the line. Even the gunners tell the ball's punted. So, you know, give the returners a little more time. And it'll just be interesting to see, you know, if the NFL takes anything from this league, or, you know, if they just keep doing what they're doing.
Was the 25-second play clock, the tempo they're trying to get, was that tough to get used to from an offensive standpoint?
Not as much. I mean, it would be if, you know, we didn't have those headset communicators, but, you know, with those, it's not that big a deal.
All right, so the big important question I want to ask, were you part of the seltzer shotgunning after the win the other day?
I wasn't in that one, but
okay.
You know, we get a big win this weekend, you can probably find me in there.
Well, I hope you're enjoying it, and we appreciate you coming on with us. Good luck, and hopefully things will continue down the road for your football career.
Absolutely, I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Brandon Riley, former Bill with the St. Louis Battlehawks. So it is a sellout, but I was thinking they're not opening the upper bowl at the Dome in St. Louis. They have made the lower bowl seating available. And all those seats are gone, so St. Louis plays its first home game this weekend. It is considered a sellout, about 28,000 fans, since they only sold lower bowl seats. But it would be, I think it'll be like the second largest crowd they have had, because I believe Seattle last week had like 29,000 fans for their game. In fact, Seattle, I just saw a story about them the other day. They've got a guaranteed, I want to say their season ticket base is like over 10,000 now. So they have at least 10,000 tickets sold for every home game on their schedule this season. So Seattle's enjoying the experience with the XFL team. We were talking a little bit of football this morning about the schedule and what might happen with the CBA. If the players approve the CBA, there is in this proposal, the owners do have the option of adding a 17th regular season game. Now, by the way, if they do that, it's not next season. It might not even be 2021. I know Michael Silver from NFL Network said it's more likely you wouldn't see a 17th game until the 2022 season. But they'd add a 17th game. They would take the preseason, shrink it to three, probably put in a second bye week. I think that's in that proposal. So would you like to see all that? 17th game, second bye week, and what if it pushed the season into mid-February? Assuming the NFL still wants a post-Labor Day start and a mid-February finish, how would you feel about all of that? You can let us know. Anthony tweeted in, I'm good with the additional 2 weeks, but cut out two preseason games and start up in August. Well, then, again, this is the discussion of, you know, does the NFL want to start before Labor Day? Do they want to start in August? Probably not. I think they like a September opener. So in likelihood, you'd be looking at football going later, the Super Bowl being middle of the month, instead of February 2nd, February 15th, 16th, stuff like that. So that is probably what they would happen. Dylan, I wouldn't be so sure the regular season starts a week earlier, right? That's what we're just talking about with the elimination of a preseason game. Starting week after Labor Day weekend might not be something they want to change. I don't think they would. I think they're very happy starting where they are and getting into the month of September. And that's why I said, I think if you're going to add two more weeks to the football season, now you're taking it into mid-February. So you can share your thoughts on that, whatever else is on your mind, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We're having some fun. The first hockey player you fell in love with, first NHL player you fell in love with, and Rob tweeted in it, was Patrick Waugh. In 1993, a Magic Stanley Cup run for the Canadiens. I was 13 and a Leafs fan, yet still couldn't stop watching Patrick Waugh. That's great. That's the answer I was looking for. Not necessarily a guy on your team that you grew up rooting for, but a player on somebody's other team that was so, and you're a Leaf fan, you wouldn't root for the Canadiens, but this guy was so phenomenal at the game, it made you fall in love with the sport.
They beat the Kings that year, right? 93?
Yes.
See, I just missed Gretzky when he was at his best. You know, right. Like I saw him.
You caught him with what? Rangers?
The Rangers, Blues.
Yeah. And even with the Kings, he was still good.
Sure. But yeah. Like 93, yeah. 92, 93, 90, like that's when.
Yeah, because if you're watching Pavel Bure, we're talking
exactly.
It's early to mid.
It's right
mid-90s.
Around there.
Yeah.
And Gretzky by that time was, again, like you said, still great, but.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
I never saw the great one
yeah.
that people talk about. You know, it just wasn't a part of my hockey growing up.
Yeah, it's really fabulous. And it is. It's funny. Like you said, I actually thought. Well, I'm lucky to have seen Gretzky. Yeah. Like this is the discussion. When I used to talk to my dad about baseball, and you know, so he would have grown up going to games in New York, right? He would have gone to the Brooklyn Dodgers games. He would have seen all those great players, great teams, and I would ask him, Jackie Robinson, watching Mickey Mantle with the Yankees, all this stuff, and I would wonder, man, what that's cool. I wish I would have been able to see those great guys. When you said like I really missed out on Gretzky, and I thought, man, I'm lucky to have seen this guy in the prime of his career.
Just the evidence of this. So his point totals.
Yep.
He had 122 points. Gretzky did 91. And then 90 points in 92, 92 points in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it really, you know, it started to dip. He was still a good player.
Right.
But more so the goal totals. So if you watch Gretzky in the early 80s, here are four seasons. 92, 71, 87, and 73. Those are goals.
Yeah, right.
His high after 1991, was 38, and he never crested 30 after that.
Yeah,
23, a season of 25, another 23.
Which is not bad, but
still not terrible.
Where he was,
but right. But when, yeah. when by the time I got around to watching the sport, Gretzky was, I mean, a role player is saying a bit much, but he wasn't getting.
No, he wasn't the star. He wasn't the fabulous player. You were going just to see Gretzky before he retired, basically at that point.
Yeah, he wasn't winning the Ross Trophy anymore.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even getting votes for the Hart.
Yeah, I mean, it's just to be able to watch, as again, a fan of the sport, to watch him. And honestly, those teams, like those, we sit here and talk about sometimes you want to watch teams that are just fun, like how they play the game, you know, attacking, aggressive-oriented teams, high-scoring teams, high-flying teams, stuff like that, like Tampa when they're on their game. That was it, too. It wasn't just watching Gretzky. It was watching Gretzky and Messier and Curry and Anderson and Lowe and all these guys and Coffey. And, you know, we were talking about goalies earlier, Grant Fuhr and goal. I mean, those teams were great. It was so exciting to watch a team play that kind of hockey, to have that kind of offense, to score those number of goals, and just to watch Gretzky do what he did with all of his amazing moves on the ice. Those are the greatest teams I've ever seen. And throwing in the Canadiens teams of the 70s, watching the Oilers was really the greatest experience of my life as a hockey fan. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. Hey, don't forget, around 8:30 this morning, big announcement. We'll have a Rachel's reveal for our roast. Not a roaster, but a celebrity who's going to be on hand, and you're going to love the announcement when we say who it is. So stay tuned for that. It is coming up at 8:30, and you can still get tickets. Monday night is the deadline, by the way. The roast is Thursday next week. So Monday night, 10 p.m. is the deadline to get your tickets for the celebrity roast of Eric Wood. So make sure you take care of that. We don't want you to miss out on this great event. WGR550.com. General admission tickets are available still. Pella VIP tickets are available. And all that again by Monday at 10 p.m. there. Get your tickets. The Celebrity Roast is brought to you by Liberty Cab, Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, and by Pella Windows and Doors with support from Bud Light, Country Suite. It's all about the sauce. Dr. Byers Buffalo Optical and Value Vision, today's hottest eyewear at the best value, by Vera's Dry Cleaning, and by Rachel's Mediterranean Grill.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's been such a nightmare for them this year. Like, I think he's really trying to do things. I think he's been trying to do things all year. People in Buffalo are like, you got to make a trade. You got to make a trade. You got to make a trade. It's not like they haven't tried to make a trade. They've been trying to make trades all season, and they can't get anything done. They got a lot of good side pieces. Connor Sherry, I've heard, you know, Pittsburgh. I've also heard potentially Nashville. Johan Larson. I got to think somebody's going to take a chance on Johan Larson in the playoffs. Evan Rodriguez, you know, they couldn't trade him earlier in the year because his number was too big, $2 million. I think he gets dealt. I think it's possible Jimmy Vesey could get dealt.
Michael Frolik?
Yeah, I think that's possible too.
Ristolainen.
See, here's the thing, like, Ristolainen's value is down. I think they were always hoping they could get a top two center for Ristolainen. I don't think they're going to be able to do that now.
That is Elliot Friedman from his 31 Thoughts podcast. You know, they're trying, they're trying, they're trying. A great alien or something once said, do or do not, there is no try.
Is that Star Wars?
It's Yoda.
Yoda, okay, got it.
He's an alien, right? He's not a man, he's an alien. He's from another planet.
No, right, that's a good discussion with throwing the apple. Yeah, I guess he would be an alien.
What's the discussion? He's an alien. He's not a droid.
No, he wasn't like a man, right?
So he's from another planet.
Little kind of fuzzy animal type thing, I guess. I don't know.
But, yeah. Fuzzy animal.
A little fuzzy animal. Like, he had fuzz, right? He had like fuzz growing, and he had like peach fuzz. And just a little fuzzy animal.
I don't know if he's fuzzy. He's got does he have hair?
It was kind of more like fuzz, wasn't it?
Maybe. Anyway, he said, do or do not, there is no try. It's just, you know, you don't get credit for trying.
No, my whole thing about he's trying has ended in the last week or so when there were a flurry of other trades.
And the other thing you hear, well, you can't make a trade just because the fans want one. No, you make a trade because it's your job.
Yeah.
And the fans want you to do your job for the last year.
And the fans want one because what's here isn't working.
Yeah.
It isn't good enough to be 10 so points out of not, third place.
You know, don't try to sell any fan as like, well, they just want something, anything. Well, yes. Right, going back to the summer. If you had made a trade just to make a trade in the summer, maybe that trade would have worked, and maybe you would have been, you know, better. What are you going to do?
Kevin tweeted in on the hockey, the player discussion, first player hockey player you fell in love with. Far and away, Pavel Bure. Simply must see because he was so skilled. Then at an NHL 94, he was the most unstoppable player in the game. That's what Jeremy was saying, too. So, yeah, Kevin, you're in good company. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We've been talking about the NFL and the idea of if all goes according to what we think would be the plan, if they had a 17th game of the bye week, you could be talking about the NFL season going into mid-February. You okay with that? And the first hockey player you fell in love with. We'll do a little NFL draft talk when we get back. Tony Pauline will join us from ProFootballNetwork.com. And then our big celebrity reveal for our roast of Eric Wood. That's coming up at 8:30 on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.